Come into the circle of love and justice. Come into the community of mercy, holiness, and health. Come and you shall know peace and joy. I welcome everyone here on this almost spring morning. Things are turning green. Turn to your neighbors and say good morning and welcome. Good morning. Good morning, Kaya. Good morning, Rose. Good morning, Jocelyn. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated human beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other. Now let us stand and sing our opening hymn 389. We'll sing it three times. And if we could get our notes there.
Sure.
Great. All right.
Gathered here in the mystery of life, gathered here in one strong body, gathered here in the struggle and the power, Spirit draw near. Gathered here in the mystery of the hour, gathered here in one strong body, gather here in the struggle and the power, Spirit, draw near. Gather here in the mystery of the hour, gather here in one strong body, gather here in the struggle and the power, Spirit, draw near.
We gather this hour as people of faith with joys, sorrows, gifts, and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, and celebration of our life together. Ours is a welcoming community where we find connection, a loving community where we find meaning. Ours is a sharing community where our joys are amplified, a caring community where our sorrows are lessened. We take this moment to reflect on our joys and sorrows and acknowledge the mutual support of our community. If you would like, please share a personal, brief, verbal expression of a special joy or sorrow.
I have a joy that my friend Tyrus has a birthday party today, and I got him for a present, Pirates versus Ninjas.
I'm Jane Pelletier. I have a concern, if I can get through it. 8 members of my family were that close to being maimed or killed in Boston last Monday. And so now they were 2/10 of a mile from the explosion, the first one. And I lived it with them because I was on Facebook and they were they finally were able to communicate with one another. So now, of course, they have the post-traumatic stuff to deal with. We all do, even I. So let's think about them, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Ann Cowan, I have a joy that last week I was in Washington, and I visited with Charlie and Nancy Perkins. And many of you know them, and they are doing well, and they send their greetings to all of you.
I'm Elke Lorenz, and I want to say that we all need community, as Jane just said, and we had a wonderful circle dinner at Ann Cowan's last Friday, and we have a lot of new members here. Please think about coming to the next one for the good and bad time. And Martin, sorry, my brain.
Is Anna Franklin out there this morning? Before I say, I don't know. I don't see her. Okay. Like this. Okay. My concern that I want to share this morning, it actually has to do with Anna, and maybe many of you know her, and of course you know her, but you may know this concern as well. She's been battling a really serious respiratory illness over the past month or month and a half, and we haven't seen a lot of her here. I really thought that she was all better, but it turns out she's just very slowly convalescing. So keep her in your thoughts and reach out if you feel you should.
I'd like to add just a couple other from the caring committee. Sybil Perkins had surgery this week for a spider bite. After trying the lower level treatments, she had to go to a surgery. And I did speak with Matt and Jen Campbell probably a week or so ago, and they are doing fine, and the baby is fine. They aren't getting as much sleep as they were used to.
I have a concern. I keep hearing stuff and like under my bed at night. And it's kind of weird because last night I had a stuffed animal and I dropped it down there and I can't find it.
Do you have one or? Oh, excuse me, I'll come back.
Well, I thought I was going to be sharing, I wasn't going to tell everybody about it, but I had a huge concern because my cat yesterday was acting strange, but it's not my cat. It's my son's cat. He's in California. I'm the caretaker. You know that feeling, right? And so last night, she was acting strangely. We took her to the emergency room, and she had a fever of almost 107. And they told me, well, you know, you can do this and this and this and this, and that might lead to this, and maybe about $4,000. And that's exactly what I said. And I just had to tell the vet, you know, I can't do that. And it was a horrible feeling because the look on their face, like, well, why do you have a pet if you can't spend $4,000 to fix it? And so we had to tell, you know, my son, his cat was sick. They called me this morning, and her fever's broken. She's acting cranky, which is the way she is. And so I don't have to send bad news to my son. So I am very happy.
How a joy I saw Nick and Connor at the open house.
All right.
Joy that has been raining because of the drought conditions in the country are pretty bad. So the rain is good. The river's up. Can't go fossiling on the sandbars as well, but rain is good.
Good. May we remember those who have spoken, those they have named, and those we hold in silence in our hearts.
To invite our young people up here to join me for a moment, and others, young at heart, may join me as well.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, this is great. Everybody can see. Oh, are we keeping this up here? Yeah. Okay, so let's move so the people can see your faces. If you wouldn't mind moving up here, like around here and round over there, so people can see your faces. Because you're so beautiful. Okay? All right. And then, can you all see me? All right. Okay. So, we're going to have a little imaginative time, and I know this is a group that can imagine extremely well. And so what I want to do is I'm going to take you through some emotions, some bad emotions and some good emotions, okay? So what I want you to do first is I want you to close your eyes, and the rest of you can do this too, okay? I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine Alexander's great, big, bad, horrible day, except it's yours. From the time you woke up in the morning and bumped your knee on the bedstead or stepped on the cat when you're walking to the bathroom, everything has gone wrong. I mean, you didn't have your schoolwork, your breakfast milk was sour, every single thing you're going through the day, and not one person smiles at you. It's bad, bad, bad. Okay, now I want you to put your hand, really, really take 30 seconds and really think about that horrible, horrible day. Imagine the worst day of your life, about 30 seconds, and there's a reason we're taking so long. Okay, as fast as you can, put your hands together, your palms together. Okay, are they hot or are they cold? Got some hot ones? Anybody have cold hands? Got some cold hands? Okay, all right, now you can let your hands down. Thank you. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a way to take all those bad feelings that sometimes happen to us. We have days like that. And I'm sorry to tell you, but you're going to have days like that all your life. You know, it's just the way life is. But then you also have good days. But I'm going to show you a strategy to use for those bad days. When right in the middle of it, you know it's a no good, horrible, bad day. So what you do is I want to just I'm going to show you a way to take all those bad feelings and be able to nibble away at them until the only thing left is a problem that you have to deal with, and you can put that in your pocket and take it out later when you're able to deal with it. But for right at that point, you're not going to sit there with that stressed face. Do you know what a stressed face looks like? What does your face look like when everything's wrong? Let me see that face. The teeth drawn back. Okay, that's the stressed face. Okay, so now I'm going to show you a way to take all those bad feelings, nibble away at them until you can put them where? Yeah, the real problem you can put in your pocket, and you can take it out when you need to deal with it. But for right now, it's safe. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I do. When I was about, let's see, probably about Rose's age. You're six. Yeah, it was about that time because I needed to be that old before I could go out of the house without anybody watching me. You know, well, I had to tell my mom where I was going. But right across the street from where I lived was a redwood forest, big redwood forest. And right at the opening of the redwood forest, there was a huge stump from the old grove. And you're not going to believe me, but this is true. The base of this tree, the bottom of the tree, was about this big. That's how big it was. And that was a small one. But the tree had been cut down, and so it was about this tall. And inside, it was all soft from the rotted wood. And I would climb up on the stump, and I would lie in the middle of that rotted wood. You have to be careful. You have to know it's solid, because sometimes people will fall through if they don't check it first, and they can get stuck in there. But this was a nice, solid one. And I would lie back, and I would look at the leaves of the other redwood trees above my head and watch the sky right above that, or the fog sort of filtering through. And when I'm stressed, where do you think I imagine I am?
Right there.
Exactly. And that's from when I was 6 years old. And that was over 50 years ago. So that was a long time ago, right? Okay, so what I want you to do now is I want you to think for the place in your life. You may close your eyes again because it's easier to think. Okay, I want you to think of the place in your life when you are there that you feel warm and safe and you can daydream and imagine and you're peaceful and you just feel life is good. Okay? Hold that piece, that place in your mind. If anybody would like to share where that place is, you're welcome to share.
Yellow Springs. The couch.
Any other places? What's your...
Well, a forest where the birds are, like, singing.
Wonderful. Anybody else? Okay. T, where's your favorite place?
Mariah Carn and Nanny's house.
Oh, good timing. Wonderful. And where's your favorite?
Going bonkers that has lots of toys and games.
Oh, that sounds good.
In my mom's lap.
Oh, very sweet. Lovely. Thank you. Okay, so now I want you to think of that place and put your hands together again like this. And think about that place. Put it in your mind. And then I want you to breathe three times very slowly like this. Are your hands hot or cold? Hot. How many of you have hot hands? Yay! So this is something that you can use. Think of that place. Think of that breathing. And when stress gets to you, go there instead. And always remember that place can help you find peace and calm. And it will give you the time to remember the lovely people that you are. So thank you very much. Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the Spirit of love surround
you everywhere
you may go.
This congregation is a theologically diverse religious community with membership open to all who are in accordance with our principles, mission, and vision. We are a welcoming congregation to people of all sexual orientations. And we unconditionally welcome any and all of you to our community of mutual caring and serious intent to grow as spiritual and moral beings. Our congregation is entirely self-governed by democratic process. One of the privileges of the free church tradition is to provide all of the financial support for our many ministries from among ourselves. Generosity, therefore, is one of the spiritual values we recognize as central to our personal and our institutional well-being. You are now invited to share your offering. Thank you. That was a very special moment in the life of this community when we recognize the new members that have joined in the last 3 or 4 months. So would you all please come forward? If you could arc a little so I could see all your wonderful faces, that would be great. That's good. Thank you very much. Today, we welcome into our community these new members who have chosen to make a commitment to this congregation by signing our membership book. New members, we are glad to have you here with us and that you have chosen this community of fellow seekers to grow together in your capacity to live in an evolving truth that reveals the complexities of what it means to live in this world, in this cosmos, in this time and place. Will you accept our gifts of fellowship, discovery, and service? If you will, say yes. Yes, great. That was good. Will you offer us your unique presence and gifts?
Yes.
Will you add your name to the long history of Unitarian Universalist women and men who spread hope with our living faith?
Yes.
Will you engage with us as we seek to create a community and a world dedicated to love and justice?
Yes.
Thank you. Congregation, will you welcome these new members with the warmth and comfort of your fellowship?
Yes.
Will you seek to add your strengths and talents to the new gifts that they bring us?
Yes.
Will you share our triumphs and our struggles as our community grows and changes?
Yes.
In the midst of our beautiful diversity of belief, we seek to dwell together in peace, to seek truth and love, and to help one another. We celebrate this great purpose by welcoming each of you into the life of this, our beloved community.
Okay. Can I help you do those? Okay. First we have Margene Moss. Sorry. Did you hear Margene Moss at the end? Okay. And Mark Long, and Jessica isn't here this morning, so she's another new member. Sarah Hoyt. Sarah Hoyt. Mark Clark. And, oh, we're just bumping into each other. We need to have, don't we? And Ron Parks. And Victoria. Victoria Martin. I don't know about Jody here. She were you wanting to sign the book?
Yes.
You are. Okay.
Yay. All right. Welcome.
And this is Jody Randall.
Thank you. Welcome.
Being at home, I'd like to start this part of the service with a poem by Robert Bly. Oh, on an early morning, I think I shall live forever. I am wrapped in my joyful flesh as the grass is wrapped in clouds of green. Rising from the bed where I dreamt of long rides past castles and hot coals, the sun lies happily on my knees. I have suffered and survived the night, bathed in dark water like any blade of grass. The strong leaves of a box elder tree plunging in the wind call us to disappear into the wilds of the universe, where we shall sit at the foot of a plant and live forever like the dust. Being at home, listening to that Simon and Garfunkel song, I was just immediately plunged back into my childhood home. So it's amazing the many ways we find ourselves home, even though that home may no longer exist in a physical sense. When the wind lashes against the windows with rain and hail, it feels good to be inside your home. In a blizzard, how comforting it is to make a pot of vegetable soup or chicken and dumplings and to just have that warmth and goodness enter your body and spread throughout, that feeling of being at home. Falling into bed after a long and difficult, stress-filled day. Heaven, one's bed at that moment. At best, we know our homes to be a place where we feel safe and protected from the violent forces of the world. But there are people like my mother who loathes being at home. She's at home too much. She wants to be out in the world. So for her, if there are no children or activities in that weekend that can involve her and take her out of her own little world, she feels very lonely, very much alone, and very much not at home. So we've all had feelings when they say, oh, I got to get out of this house right now. And then we also have those feelings of, oh, I am so glad to have my bed and my loved ones. I can remember when I was a minister in Oklahoma City, I had spent the first year without a TV or then a VCR, and then I finally broke down and said, I need a friend at home. So I bought a TV and a VCR, and one Saturday late afternoon, as I finished the order of service and ran over to Kinko's to have it printed, I came back with my dog, Pooja, and I was opening the front door, and Pooja was barking like mad. And then I looked and I thought, what in the heck is that? A cord was just going outside the living room window. There went my new VCR. It just flew out that window. I didn't see the person, but I saw that cord. And so for the next 2 weeks, it was like that place was no longer safe, especially when I would drive back from Stillwater, an hour and a half journey in the dark, sometimes the pouring rain or sleet or snow. And then to enter that house, was there someone there wanting to take something precious from me? That feeling of being invaded and violated. It took a while, but you slowly forget those memories. It is said that the home is where your heart is. This understanding of what constitutes home could mean that you can find yourself at home anywhere in the world as long as your heart is open and connected. When are you most at home in yourself? When do you feel like you are a safe and loving place to find your being? And when do you find yourself not so comfortable in your own skin, when you feel like you said something that was really unfortunate and you can't take it back? So we have, even in our own bodies, our own psyches, this feeling of being at home and then sometimes feeling like we're a stranger to ourselves. We don't belong in this body. We don't belong in this life. When are you most at home with others? Is it in the morning? Not me. You don't want to talk to me the first thing in the morning. Give me a pot of coffee. Others, like my sister, oh my God, the world has just opened up its beautiful doors and she wants to talk to everybody and just greet them and say, hello, how's it going? And I'm going, oh God, save me, save me. Anyway, so we have those different ways of being at home with people and different rhythms and different cycles and different moments when all of a sudden we connect and we're at home with our partner, our spouse, a parent, a child, and maybe it's a long-lost relative, someone who disappeared in the Vietnam War on the streets of America, lost forever. Are the people who were killed in Boston, all over the world? We can connect with those people in our imaginations. For you, is home most related to people, land, places, books, films, culture? What are the things in your life that bring you into a sense of wholeness, coherence, cohesiveness, a place where you feel like you have a strong foundation, good walls, a roof that won't let the rain in? What kinds of things in your life bring you that sensibility of being safe, protected, and at home? What gets you into the present moment, even if for a brief time? When in your day do you feel there's just this, and you're very, very much in that thisness? That place of being at one. Pay attention to those moments, because these are the places which help us, as Kathy was saying, when we're stressed out. How do we move back to those places of being present, our heart open, our mind open, we're one with the universe, or one with the tree, or one with a book or a movie, or whatever it is? Pay attention to those moments. Carry them with you. What prevents you from being present to the moment? What are the things that irritate you? Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, the father of Tibetan Buddhism in America, would say, those things that irritate you are juicy. They are so juicy. If it makes you mad, then you listen very carefully, because there you will find yourself. There you will know something, that it's true. So it's like this wonderful opposition. It's both. You can know yourself in those moments when you are most irritated, because you see something about yourself that you're pushing away, that you don't want to let enter in, that you want to close your heart and mind from. But what happens if you take a non-aggressive stance towards that thing which irritates you? What happens then? What makes this fellowship home for so many drives other people away as quickly as can be. There are people who need creeds, who need religious authority that tells them who to be, how to behave, what rituals to enact, and how to enact them. It gives them a grounding, a rootedness, a place in this world. Very important for many, many people, and that is to be honored and respected. And then there are people who feel very uncomfortable in a place where they are being told what to think, what to believe, who they can marry, who they can't marry, who they can vote for, who they can't vote for. There are places which invite you to open yourselves up to the great possibilities, the panorama of what it means to be alive in this world today. And this fellowship is one of those places. This is a place where we're asked to to figure out what is most important to me, to you, and you, and you, individually and collectively, so that we can gather as we did yesterday. I counted by the end of the parade for the Gay Day Parade in Manhattan, which is a pretty small event. We had 25 people associated with the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan present at that parade. Twenty-three of those members, starting with Xavier, who is probably 3 months old now, and I think Charles being 60, almost 61. We had a nice age span there, trudging, marching, and biking. We had at least 9 people on bikes. It was a glorious coming together of support for a community that's often beleaguered by hate-mongering, by vilifying, by collapsing into a small, little, mean, hard identity. Them. Those people. Yesterday we were saying yes to everyone. So it was a great moment for me to be with all of our members in that parade on that day. Unitarian Universalism seeks truth in the evolving moment, not in the moment that was revealed 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, though those moments may contain great wisdom, and we can tap into the profundity of those wisdom moments, those people who lived wisely. But we are, as a people, not trapped or not held to just that moment. The moment is always revealing itself. The truth is evolving. It is not static. It is not once and for all. So part of the responsibility we have as Unitarian Universalists is not only to respect all of the other heritages, all the other religions, and at their best in the ways that they help people ground themselves and know themselves as holy and as good, but we are asked to move beyond our comfort zone. We are asked to move beyond what we think we are so that we can become who we dream we want to be. So there's that tension, that dreaming tension, that tension of vision. If nothing were going to stop me, what could I be? What could this fellowship be? How could we as a people lift up this great message of evolving truth that asks everyone to be respected and cared for? What would that look like? What would that feel like? In part, this service was inspired by William Blake's poem called Auguries of Innocence. Many of you know it by its first quatrain: to see a world in a grain of sand and heaven in a wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. What a great first quatrain. It challenges us to find that place of innocence in ourselves, that place of purity, that place where you can look at the smallest thing and see the whole vast wilderness, the whole cosmic dimension. What an incredible invitation. And the poem goes on for like 40 stanzas, so I'm not going to go through all these stanzas. But many of these stanzas, no, not many, a couple of these stanzas form two of the hymns in our hymnal, and I'll read those now. It is right, it should be so. Man was made for joy and woe. And with this we rightly know, through the world we safely go. Joy and woe are woven fine, a clothing for the soul divine. Under every grief and pine runs a joy with silken twine. Every night and every morn, some to misery are born. Every morn and every night, some are born to sweet delight. Some are born to sweet delight. Some are born to endless night. I have two friends who for a year talked about the time that they would be spending in Poland. They looked forward towards this new venture. They had lived in Italy and in England and places all over the world. And now Tom was going to be teaching at a university in Poland, linguistics, and Michelle had a Fulbright so she could work on her next book of poems. And they were just so excited to be someplace new so they could poke around and figure it out. And Tom's heritage is Polish, so wow, what an adventure. Well, I've been emailing Michelle, and yesterday I got this email back. I'll just share part of it. Tom and I are continuing to count down the days until we come home. I wish I didn't feel the need to have time pass quickly when I know that's just what life is made of. And it's not as if being home will whoosh away my doldrums. But I can't seem to find things to savor here. Krakow doesn't seem to have all that much to offer, though we keep trying to find some delights. There was an International Independent Film Festival going on there last week. We saw one great film, one mediocre, one crummy, and one awful film. The days are long. I try to balance a few things on my shelf, try to catch what falls off. Spring has been slow a coming here too, though a couple days ago it got up into the 70s. Things are starting to bloom, though there aren't many gardens in Krakow, even small beds. We have seen an array of grape hyacinths blooming in a park near us. The main color here for streets, buildings, sky is pigeon gray. So any color stands out. We've heard some lovely bird song, though. How fantastical the bird names must be in Polish, whatever their names are. So Michelle left in the doldrums. In the last 18 months, she's lost two brothers and her mother. And she's a person of fierce intellect who believes that one should work incredibly hard and know things deep and well. She doesn't stand for people like me who want to goof off. I was a student of hers for 4 years, so I know how to behave when I must. But all of that intellectual knowledge and all of the stuff that she has given herself to for 40 years has not helped her through this period of loss. What has helped, oddly enough, and she would be the first to admit how surprised she is going to yoga, where her body becomes more supple and she's asked to breathe deeply. And in walks where she's asked to notice what's beautiful, the small things. Her therapist says, just look out at the world and pay attention. Allow all that spinning to stop for a moment. Find yourself at home in the here and now. Viktor Frankl writes about a woman who was, I'll just read what he wrote. This young woman knew that she would die in the next few days, but when I talked to her, she was cheerful in spite of this knowledge. She was at Auschwitz. I am grateful that fate has hit me so hard, she told me. In my former life, I was spoiled and did not take spiritual accomplishments seriously. Pointing through the window of the hut, she said, this tree here is the only friend I have in my loneliness. Through that window, she could see just one branch and two blossoms of the chestnut tree. I often talk to this tree, she said to me. I was startled and didn't quite know how to take her words. Was she delirious? Did she have occasional hallucinations? Anxiously, I asked her if the tree replied. Yes, yes. What did it say to her? She answered, it said to me, I am here. I am here. I am life, eternal life. So how, in your darkest, bleakest moments, when everything has been taken from you, do you find a place in yourself where you can cherish the infinite? If it is God that you yield to, or if it is some high moral intellectual standard that gives you hope and faith, what is it that allows you to yield and surrender to what is precious, what cannot be taken from you? What allows you to be at home no matter what happens? What is it? These are important questions. Monday's bombing at the finish line of the Boston Marathon occurred just blocks from the Unitarian Universalist Association. There was great horror amongst all of the staff, wondering if anybody they knew had been hurt or killed. Had they been there to celebrate all those people who had run 26.3 miles? Two. I always say three because I ran one. Anyway, it just is one of those things that we all know that you can't put your whole self around immediately. It takes a long time. But I remember when I was a freshman at Lawrence University, I had a political science professor who said, those people who are disaffected, disengaged, who have no connection to family or community, are the seeds that are planted that create anarchy. So if we want a safe world, we have to plant those seeds of community everywhere we go. And we do that by practicing the principles that you'll find in the front of our hymnal: the respect of inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience and democratic process, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, respect for the independent web of existence of which we are all a part. If you allow these principles to do their work in your inner life, not just in your head, but if you allow them to shape who you are, you will find the capacity to see and feel and know the preciousness of life with increasing detail and fineness. These are not just words on a page. They guide us to take responsibility for being compassionate, to use our minds, to use our hearts, to use our body, to build communities of love and justice. Unitarian Universalism encourages each of us to move out of our comfort zone and to find home in more and more places in your everyday life. What a great invitation. It asks us to help create a world where everyone is connected by respect, compassion, and a most profound call to love from the place of infinity. That boundless capacity of the universe. That call to love. A great call. Since we will be having our annual meeting this afternoon at 12, let us now sing the closing hymn, number 305, De Coloris.
We didn't know that this was going to happen quite this fast. But yep. We're as ready as we'll ever be.
Yep. Please stand if you are able.
All right. You may have to give us a little bit of room here. No, yes. Don't give us a day. I'll give it. All right.
All the colors. Yes, the colors we see in the springtime and all of its flowers. All the colors, when the sunlight turns out through a rift in the cloud and it showers. All the colors, as the rainbow appears, the storm cloud is touched by the sun. All the colors abound o'er the whole world around and for everyone under the sun. All the colors, yes, the colors of fable parading on by with their banners. All the colors, yes, yes, the colors of pennants and streamers and plumes and bandanas. All the colors, yes, the colors of people now taking their place in the sun. All the colors abound for the whole world around and for everyone under the sun. All the colors, yes, the black and the white and the red and the brown and the yellow. All the colors of people who smile and shake hands and say hello. All the colors, yes, the colors of people who know that their freedom is won. All the colors abound for the whole world around and for everyone under the sun.
No.
Thank you.
All right. Let me share these closing words. This is the mission of our faith, to teach the fragile art of hospitality, to revere both the critical mind and the generous heart, to prove that diversity need not mean divisiveness, and to witness to all that we must hold the whole world in our hands. Let us readjourn at 12 o'clock.
Thank you.